You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Alabama rolled to another national championship with a 52-24 victory over Ohio State last night. Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith took home the offensive MVP after finishing with 12 catches for 215 yards and three touchdowns. And that was all, guys, in the first half. Smith is a lock to be a first-round selection in the draft, and he looks to become the latest Bama receiver to take the NFL by storm, joining Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, and Amari Cooper. The list goes on. Shannon, how good can he be in the NFL?
He can be very good, but you forgot about the best one, Julio.
Oh, yeah, Julio.
Skip, I believe he can be great. I believe he'll be the first receiver off the board. And like I said, when we talked about who he reminds me of, his build, his stature, the way he gets in and out of breaks reminds you of Marvin Harrison. I was texting with my brother last night, and he said, yeah, his build is like Marvin. He has a lot of similarities. But, Shannon, you know who he reminds me of? I said, who? He said, Jerry. He said, because Jerry would run, and you didn't realize how fast Jerry was, but Jerry was separating. And when you look at this kid, Skip, you're like, he's not even running. But you look at the distance that he's creating. You're like, how? It's like it's so effortless. It's like he looks like running on clouds. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we know about Alabama receivers, all of them can run routes. All of them get in and out of breaks. All of them can run the route tree. So you can run the speed out. You can run the dig. You can run, you know, whatever you want to run.
Okay, that's coaching.
Yes, yes. And I had Ozzie Newsome on my show, and he said what they do at Alabama, say each one teach one. Say, if you're there, the guys coming in behind you, yeah, it's your job to prepare them and get them ready. Mm-hmm. So you look at the defensive line, Skip, it's not a surprise. Yep. They keep back the defensive line. You look at the offensive line. You look at what they do. They're just one after the other. Skip, I mean, over 15 yards a catch, 23 touchdowns. There's no question in my mind he's the greatest Alabama player ever. You look at what he accomplished. Two national champions, caught the game winner as a true freshman. He wins the Heisman Trophy, the Blitnikoff Award, the Maxwell Award, AP Player of the Year, SEC Player of the Year, Skip, his accomplishments, and the Heisman. So here, when I look at him, Skip, it's hard for me to see where he's not going to be successful. And I know people say, but Shannon, he's so small. He's 6 foot. He's 170 pounds soaking wet. He plays stronger than his stature would says he should.
Yep.
It's hard to press. He can get out of pre. He can accelerate. He can get separate. Skip, I like this kid. I think this kid can be really, really special. A lot of it has to do with where he goes in the quarterback that he's going to be with, especially as a rookie. Mm-hmm. If you look at Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
He went with Kirk Cousins. And you might think, well, Kirk, not, He's perfect for this kid. This kid had 1,400 yards with something we hadn't seen in a very long time. That's more yards. I think Anquan had the record for in the Super Bowl era with over 1,300. This kid did 1,400. So you can make a case right now, Justin Jefferson is a top 10 receiver. I believe Devontae Smith has that exact same ability, the ability to run, the ability to separate, and then yards after the catch.
So, speaking of your big brother, Sterling Sharp, who was a pretty good receiver in and of his own right and would be in the Hall of Fame if not for an injury that cut short his career, and it was a serious, what would you say, neck? Is like
it was a
spine.
Neck injury, yes. Yeah. Yes, he had abnormal lackness between C1 and C2.
Up high,
which was the vertebrae that Christopher Reeve broke when he fell off the horse. Ooh. So he had abnormal lackness, so it would move, and then he would be temporarily paralyzed, and then it would have to work itself back in. So they took a bone out of his hip, they fused it. But the doctor says, if you were my son,
can't risk.
You wouldn't play anymore.
Okay, well, he did not.
He did not.
God bless him. Speaking of Sterling Sharp, I tweeted at halftime, I believe it was, because it was just before the start of the third quarter when Devontae unfortunately got hurt.
Right.
But I tweeted that if he can stay healthy on tangibles and intangibles, he can be Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. That's who I see. That's who I've seen from the start. I know that is the ultimate mouthful, but to your point, this is the greatest college receiver I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I saw Julio, and we can go all back through. Right. They all came up through the ranks, mm-hmm. but even Julio as a Falcon is much bigger. And probably faster.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think Devontae will time if he does run the 40? Will he run 4.4?
I'm saying 4.5, really? Maybe 4.5.2.
I'm going to go 4.4.
You will 4.4?
But I'm not going to go 4.2.
I don't see him okay. that fast.
Why did Tom Landry once upon a time say no to Jerry Rice? Because they passed him.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't run fast enough for us. We need speed. Well, guess what? Separation.
Good. Right.
I can't explain it, but
some guys can just play fast, Skip. They won't time fast, but they play fast.
He accelerates so quickly and so smoothly and effortlessly that it's hard for DBs to focus in on what's about to hit them.
Right.
There's a way that you know where you're going to go before he knows.
Correct.
And you separate from him in ways that are inexplicable. As Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, said after the game, he just eats ground. He just eats it up. And he does it so effortlessly that you just say, how did he get there?
Right.
How did he get to that spot so quickly? Well, he has quickness and he has speed and he has high football IQ. He knows where he wants to go, and he's going to get there before you get there.
It's called eating up the cushion, Skip. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're like, okay, the DB is playing off. And before you know it, he's up on you. Okay, now I got to get out of my back pedal. He snaps it off, run the speed out. Or now he runs the over. Or he runs the post. He runs the dig. Because everything looks the same, Skip. There's no way. If you watch him, there's no wasted body motion. And if everything is straight ahead, fall off the table. Turn him back. And Tom Landry had gotten spoiled by having Bullet Bob Hayes. Bob Hayes was just the fastest man in the world. So when you have...
He had Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you have him, everybody's going to be slow compared to him. It's right. Like Andy. It's like, well, I don't want that receiver because he can't celebrate. Well, you got Tyreek and Mecole Hardman, which are two of the fastest receivers in the NFL. So everybody's going to look slow compared to them.
Right. And like Jerry, the problem I always say with Jerry, it was hard to Jerry Rice. It was hard to sensationalize what he did because he made everything look so easy.
Everything
Where's
was routine.
The signature catch? Does he dive? Does he one hand it? Nope.
I don't know if I can skip. I don't know. And like I said, I'm old enough to remember I was in the league when Jerry was in his prime. I don't know if I've ever seen Jerry dive to make a catch. He just caught it,
and he caught it in stride, like you're supposed to.
He didn't have no Odell or Chris. I still say CC had the best hands I've ever seen. That was
Chris
before,
Carter. Yeah.
Chris Carter. Mm-hmm. Now they got the tactified glove. I don't know if it's their hands. I don't know if it's attacking its own glove, the technology. But Skip, Jerry played in Newman's, mm-hmm. and anybody that know about the Newman glove, they're not like what they have now.
Mm.
But Jerry just made everything look so easy. You like, what? Damn, how good is Jerry? He ain't making no circus catch like I see the other guys. But you just look up every year. He's all pro. He's in the Pro Bowl. He got 1,400 yards. He got 15 touchdowns. You like, what? Well, damn.
And he worked so hard
in
the offseason. He ran hills. He was ready to play. He was at peak physical performance, fitness performance, every year he played.
And it's Jerry's fault in the West Coast that every receiver got catch the ball, got to finish 40 yards. Because every pass he caught, he finished 40 yards. Yep. So now that's required. I don't know if they still do it, but we had to do it in the West Coast.
I got it.
I'm like, dude, I just caught a two-yard run. You talking about finish? Because Mike was always staying 40 yards. So you had to run to him and then come back. So that was Jerry's fault.
And Devontae's hands are effortlessly great.
Yes.
Because the first time I ever saw him bobble a ball in the years I've been watching him was the second play of the second half last night.
Right.
And what happened? If we have that play, can we see it real quick?
Yes.
He bobbled it slightly. He couldn't quite pull it in. It's a good pass. And as he bobbled, all of a sudden, Pete Warner, the linebacker, drew a bead on him and just hit him flush, head-on collision, and he got his right hand caught in the middle.
Well, like his fingers got jammed, Skip, because, you know, when you relax, Skip, you're not thinking nobody's going to be there, and then boom.
Okay. So his right hand took the brunt of it. It's over on the side, and it dislocated, I believe, the index finger of his right hand, and they said they couldn't get it to pop back in. Hence, he couldn't come back into the game.
Right, because for a second, I thought he had broken the skin, Skip, because I dislocated my ring finger.
Yep.
And what they do is just tape it together. They were able to get it back in. It went to the side.
Yep.
Bill Tessendorf, who was the trainer in Baltimore, they got it back in place, Skip, and they just taped the fingers together. And I was like, okay, they're just going to tape the fingers together. Mm-hmm. So that lets me.
I think it was his ring finger now that I think about it. I think
really?
It was. I'm not sure, but whatever. One of the.
But they couldn't get it back in.
They couldn't get it back in, so he couldn't come back in, which was probably a good thing.
Right.
All things considered, he had done enough.
Nah, I wanted to see him get three bills.
Did you?
Yeah, I wanted to see him get three bills.
Three bills? He might have gotten four bills. And they might have scored 100 points.
It looked like they were trending towards 70.
Yeah.
Had he not gotten
and then
hurt.
You'd been up in your palatial estate just doing this all night.
You know, right? I wasn't gloating. I felt really comfortable. As the game progressed, I was like, Ohio State, y'all had to do defense. You got to stop him at some point, Skip.
Mm-mm. Nope. Not this young man.
Unfortunately, losing Sermon early, though, that was just a tough blow for the Buckeyes.
No mercy.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation. And as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
11 games into the NBA season, and the Lakers find themselves with the league's best record at 8-3. So it should come as no surprise that the LeBron for MVP buzz is picking up trajectory already. The 36-year-old King is averaging 24-8-7 in his 18th season, and according to Fox Bet Sportsbook, his odds are only trailing preseason favorite Luka Doncic and back-to-back winner Giannis Antetokounmpo to take home the hardware. So, Shannon, is LeBron the early MVP so far?
I would say yes, Skip, because he happens to be the best player on the best team. And although his numbers are not where we customarily see it, but points, he's off just slightly. You know, he's averaged 25 points a game for 16 straight seasons. Nobody's ever done that. But he's a 27-7 guy. So he's slightly off that, Skip, but he's playing the fewest minutes he's ever played in his career. He's playing slightly, a little over 32 minutes a game. And so for him not to have missed a game, and he's really carrying the load. AD hasn't been up to himself yet. We're not seeing the AD. We saw a little bit of it the other night. Well, he went 27-12, something like that. But right now he's 23-9. But, I'm surprised that LeBron is playing as much as he is. And he's played. I think he's playing well, Skip. He's trying to get everybody else involved. I mean, he's coming out and he's staying out for longer periods of time. On average, he's playing about 15, 16 minutes in the first half, following that up with another 16, sometimes 17, 18 minutes in the second half. But averaging 32.5 minutes a game and putting up the numbers that he is, they have the best record. So, right now I would say so. But it's a long ways to go. LeBron normally doesn't get serious about the MVP conversation until after the All-Star game. Even though they're not going to have it, Skip, they're still going to have the selection. So we're still a ways away. We're probably about another month before LeBron says, okay, shoot, man, I got a chance to get this thing. Because remember last year, Skip, it was like that weekend where he had the Bucks, he had the Clippers that we saw him take off and like, okay, let me go ahead and make a push for this thing because I think it's a realistic chance now. So I think that's what he'll do again. But Paul George has had a great year thus far. Steph, Yoke has been unbelievable. 24-11-10. They're 5-5. And Joel Embiid, they've lost their last three. He's 27-12. But I would say right now, if the voting was today, I believe LeBron would win it. But the voting isn't today. It's a long ways away. But he's playing well right now.
So I do agree with this part of your conclusion. If the voting were today, I believe he would win it. And I would say that the voting was a joke. I also, for the record, told you last year, after that weekend in question that you just brought up, Milwaukee and the Clippers, and who else was it?
Yeah.
But it was those two,
yes,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I said LeBron just won the MVP because I believe he deserved the MVP just ahead of the pandemic. Then the rest of it, I didn't really care. It was when they went to the bubble.
Well, they had stopped the voting. They said once the season stopped, you sold the bubble didn't count.
He deserved the MVP over Giannis last year. Here's my problem with LeBron, and I know it's early, but that's what we're doing right now if the voting were today. My problem with early LeBron so far, he has been a disaster in the fourth quarters. In the money quarter, the numbers are horrendously bad by his standards. Year 18, whatever. He's LeBron James. You say he's the GOAT. He's obviously one of the top three or four players in the league right now. But look at these numbers in the fourth quarter so far. He's shooting 36.7%. Remember, he's a career 50% from the field shooter.
Right.
50%. He's going to make half the shots that he takes. In fourth quarter so far, he ranks 200th at 36.7%. From three so far, in the fourth quarter, he ranks 156th because he's making 23.8%. Well, it's horrible. And then from the free throw line, he ranks 172nd so far in the fourth quarters at 65.2%. Let's look at just the last three fourth quarters that he's played. He is 2 of 15 combined in those three fourth quarters. 2 of 15, he is 0 for 6 from 3 and 5 of 10 from the free throw line. That's a combined minus 14 in the three fourth quarters of the last three games that he's played. Mm-hmm. The one that caught my eye, and I watch every game that he plays, even though this year we get distracted because we have to watch NFL and NBA up against each other. Right. I've never seen anything like this before,
right,
but I've usually got one NBA game on while the NFL game is on.
Right.
So Friday night, I forced Ernestine. I said, no, we can't watch whatever we were going to watch, whatever the movie was. I've got to watch the LeBron game. Okay, so she sat with me, and so here we go. It's Chicago. It's a team they should handle at home, although it's hard to sort of get up for Chicago.
Oh, really? Like, ask the Clippers how easy it should have been.
I got it, but it took all of Kawhi and all of Paul George,
yes,
and they held them off at the end. Okay, so in this case, I'm not sure that LeBron and company held them off. They just got lucky at the end.
If I'm not mistaken, Skip, they did this without AD. AD didn't play.
AD did not play, so it was all LeBron all
right
the time in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So down the stretch of the fourth quarter.
How was he down the stretch?
Okay, 142 left, he missed a three. Then he drove and missed again about 30 seconds later. Then he drove and muscled in a layup, and it should have been a three-point. And it should have been.
And no, that's the same.
And nothing.
Say it with me. And one.
And nothing. He missed the free throw, which would have put them up four at the time. Then Garrett Temple comes down for the Bulls and drains a three. Unlikely. But here we go back down, and with 20 seconds left, I'm saying, LeBron, just drive it. They can't keep you from the rim. If you have to go shoot the free throws, you can make these free throws to put you up three. And what did he do, if we could see, please, what he did?
He shot a 30-footer.
He shot a 31-footer. It's not quite logo, but it's pretty close, and it didn't even...
Yeah, that would...
What are you doing? And this is Zach LaVine at the end. He got an 18-footer. That's to win the game because LeBron took a logo three. So here we go again. Logo three, almost logo. 31 feet. Didn't really come close. And all of a sudden, the Bulls come right back down, and Zach LaVine, who'd had a pretty hot hand through the game, gets this shot to win it and missed it.
Yeah.
Okay, so LeBron I got to be honest. He has stunk in the fourth quarters, and everybody's saying he deserves the MVP. I don't get it.
What about
last year? Yes. This year, stop it.
What about the other quarters?
Okay. Well, obviously, the numbers that he's putting up are still pretty good. They're still pretty good. 24-8-8. Really. Yeah. 24-8-8. Okay. He rolls out of bed in 24-8-8, and this is year 18. I give you that. He's probably going to have the greatest 18th year, 18th season that you could ever have.
19th, 20th,
okay,
21st.
We'll see about that.
You better take them
one at a time.
We don't have.
Okay, but you cannot make a case for how he's playing in these fourth quarters.
But of the guys that's on the board, with throwing Paul George, throwing Jokic, throwing Embiid, who would you vote MVP right now?
At this moment?
Yes.
I told you last week, I think Paul George has played at the highest level of anybody so far. I just believe it.
You can't be the high level if you get beat by 51 and then okay. You go a 22-point lead. Then
okay.
But he said
we took Christmas Day, the day okay, after
what,
Christmas.
Okay, what about that 22-point lead, though?
Okay.
I get that 51, but what about the 22-point lead?
That was Steph finally turning back into Steph, and he has been lousy in a lot of fourth quarters, and that was the one that he took off in. They could not guard him in the fourth quarter.
What do you mean?
After they had just dominated that team, as they should have. That was on the same night that this happened.
But you told me, everybody keep telling me that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are the two best wing defenders.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted that.
Yeah, right? And what about Pat Bev? Mm. Oh, Pat Bev, that Bulldog. Show that. You mean what he did to LeBron? Flew out of his hands.
Mm.
There go little old Steph. Little old, y'all let little Steph do that?
Well, Steph is 2 inches taller than Pat Bev.
Listen,
that was the Steph who made 105 straight three-pointers in practice.
That you didn't believe.
I still don't believe it because he's still shooting lousy from three by his standards. But in this game against the Clippers, that was just crazy hot Steph.
But guess what? You were talking crazy about Chicago almost beating the Lakers.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine. Okay. He got 38 against the Lakers. He went and got 45 on 10 threes against the Clippers.
You know what? He's really good. No, he is on a bad team.
Yes.
But he is really good. He is a handful.
And when he get it going like this, Kevin, what you going to do?
Okay, well, that's what I said about Steph. I just kept waiting for somebody to stop him, and they just couldn't stop him.
Nah.
You can't. When he does that, remember, that was at in their new arena up in San Francisco.
Yeah, so. You just run by the coach. Yeah. Hey, what you want to do? What's the next set? Just like Devontae, Skip, last night when the guy get it going like that, Coach, I can't do nothing with hey, y'all better roll some coverage or something.
I don't know. But it's a long season. Maybe LeBron can bounce back in fourth quarters, but so far, so bad.
Well, we got, what you call them? We got, who we got tonight? Oh, we got the Rockets tonight.
We got to do it again.
Back-to-back at the Rockets.
Okay. It's hard to win back-to-back on the road.
Although we just did it to the Spurs.
Yep.
Look at the Spurs.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
And LaMarcus Aldridge hadn't had another game like that since. Garrett Trent Jr. has not had another game close.
He had
two games close to what he played against the Lakers.
You don't follow the Spurs.
Yes, I do. I follow the Spurs. I follow everybody because I want to see, are they going to play like they played against the Lakers? And LaMarcus Aldridge, why don't you?
I thought you don't eat broccoli.
I don't.
I eat broccoli.
Twice a day,
every day.
And Gary Trent Jr., when last
twice
time he had a,
day,
had a game, two
day?
Games, three games like that?
I should be doing that. I think Skip actually has the answer.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we can all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Saturday on Fox, the Rams take on the Packers. Coverage begins at 2:30 Eastern. Then on Sunday, Tom Brady and the Bucks square off with Drew Brees and the Saints at 6 Eastern. The NFL Divisional Playoffs presented by TurboTax live on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Well, the Cowboys have hired former Falcons head coach Dan Quinn as their new defensive coordinator, replacing Mike Nolan, who was fired last week. Before his time in Atlanta, Quinn oversaw the Legion of Boom as defensive coordinator in Seattle, which finished first in yards allowed and points allowed in back-to-back Super Bowl trips. Now, Quinn will look to fix one of the league's worst units, as the Cowboys allowed the most points in franchise history and finished with the 31st ranked run defense in the NFL. We're now joined by former Cowboy Orlando Scandrick. Orlando, give this hire a letter grade for us, please.
I'm going to give it a C+, maybe a B-. Me and Sharp talked about this before. When you get to hiring and giving people jobs for based off of what they did in the past, I mean, that's you get into like deep waters. But my biggest thing with Dan Quinn is he's fired several defensive coordinators. He was a defensive minded coach when he went to Atlanta, and you know, he's most remembered for his meltdowns. Another thing with Dallas, they need to add some pieces. They don't have many secondary pieces. They need some interior defensive linemen, and they can add another linebacker. And you know, I just don't know how much of that he can fix. He likes to play cover three, and years ago when they brought cover three into the league with that match three with Seattle, you know, they kind of took the league by surprise with Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Rich Sherman, Brandon Browner, and they just don't have those pieces in Dallas.
I gave it a C also, because I don't know what people realize. On the team, the guy they just fired a couple years ago, Chris Richard was the defensive back coach. He ran the same system. Actually, this is Gus Bradley's system.
It is. And what I agree. Thank you for saying that. Because he originated.
Right.
Yes.
Well, no, if you want to go back further, it's not Gus Bradley's system.
But Gus brought it with cover one. Played the cover one, what we used to call it, a little older. We called it cover one lurk. They call it cover one robber. And as you mentioned, you had Sherm, you had Cam, you had Earl Thomas. I just want to know who in Dallas is Bobby Wagner. Which one of the middle guys is Bobby Wagner?
Jalen Smith is.
he might got the same number, but that's where it stops. And that's the thing that you have to understand. Because if they play well, that means they underperform under Chris Richard. And if they don't, I was saying, Dan Quinn, Skip, he had a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. And you look at this, he had a 19-point lead against the Cowboys. He had a 17-point lead against the Bears. He had a big lead. He had a lead against the Lions. What? At some point in time, now, as O said, he's a defensive-minded coach, and his defenses keep giving up big leads. The same thing that you guys said about Mike Nolan. Last time Mike Nolan was a defensive coordinator, his teams did bad. He got a job.
And by the way, that was also in Atlanta.
Dan Quinn got a job based off of what? That was many, many years that he was the coach in Seattle, And those guys were in their prime. That's a prime Sherm. That's a prime Earl Thomas. That's a prime Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright. We ain't got none of that there.
We can take it a step further. They had also had Chris Clemens, who was, you know, he was great at what they asked him to do. They had Brandon Meebane and Red Bryant playing that strong side defensive end. You have to have big defensive linemen. If you want to play a one-gap defense, Sharp, Skip, you know this. You covered it. You want to play a one-gap defense, everybody got to do their job.
You got to have hell raisers.
Yeah.
So, Orlando, before we move on, who originated this defense? You didn't finish your point before Gus
Monty
Bradley.
Kiffin. It's an evolution of Monty Kiffin. Monty Kiffin brought the cover two into the league.
No.
No one could figure it out.
Hold on, but that's Tampa.
You talking about Tampa, too. Yeah.
Oh, but Monty gave Gus Bradley his first job. Monty was the one who recommended Gus Bradley get the job for Pete Carroll. And then he took from playing cover two, and then he started to use that two-shell safety and drop them down and play cover three. And then they got these big, long defensive backs from Seattle that can play these cover three zones because they can close these windows. They don't have those guys in Dallas.
And you can play that coverage when you got Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, Simeon Rice. Yeah, you can play a lot. You can play whatever you want.
Actually, everybody knows that Pete Carroll's a defensive mind. When Pete Carroll was in with the Jets, he played a little bit of this one lurk, a little bit of this cover three.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to give this move, as a lifelong Cowboy fan, a C+. I'm going all the way up to plus.
But you gave it a C, though.
And why do I go C+? The only silver lining here is that McCarthy brought in two of his ex-assistants who were with him on the defensive side in Green Bay, George Witt Jr. and Jason Simmons. I don't know much about either, they were two of the primary candidates. He wanted to go old. I want to go back to what I knew in Green Bay.
They were terrible.
Not sure about Mike McCarthy, what he was doing. You're starting to convince me. I think he was a product of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre before that. So my point is, at least he didn't get to go back in time to what he knew in Green Bay. At least with Dan Quinn, he has no relationship with Mike McCarthy at all. So at least that's a clean slate. Right. Mm-hmm. And at least Dan Quinn will come in as the unquestioned head coach of the defense, because he's been the head coach of the defense in Atlanta for what that's worth, and that's not worth very much. From what I know of Dan Quinn, he's a good guy. He's high energy. He's sort of a Pete Carroll clone little bit, you know, and he loves – his specialty is the defensive line.
Right.
So they will go back to conventional four-down linemen.
Yep.
And DeMarcus won't have to be standing up saying, what do I do now? He will put his hand in the dirt, and he will go like he used to go.
Right.
So – will that be an upgrade, maybe, if they go back to single high, just sort of – go ahead, Orlando. Yeah.
Can't go anywhere but up. But, from what I know about Dan Quinn, and I hate to cut you off, Skip, but I just want to give you a little bit of my insight. What I know about Dan Quinn, he's a great, high-energy, positive guy, but I mean, you can be a positive if you want. If you don't have the Jimmys and the Joes, I don't care nothing about your X's and O's.
Okay, so I tweeted immediately when I heard this yesterday. Can he bring 2014 Richard Sherman with him? Can he bring Bobby Wagner from 2014? Can he go back in a time machine? Can he get Cliff Averill? Can he get Bruce Irvin? Can he get Michael Bennett? Can he get any of them? Can he get Cam? Can he get Earl? No. We don't have anywhere near any of those guys, right? So where does this go? It's got to be better than Mike Nolan, who I wanted fired at midseason.
Right.
It was a disaster. It was all-time embarrassment. It was arguably the worst defense in the history of the franchise, a franchise that once upon a time had a defense called Doomsday, long before Orlando played for the Dallas Cowboys. Even Orlando's defenses were there's one year I made a case that Orlando Scandrick was the MVP of the defense. That's how good it was that he was dominating. Well, and now this.
You know what I look at, if they're smart, they would draft another corner to go alongside Diggs.
Well, and again, because at 10, you got Patrick Surtain, we saw last night. He's pretty good.
I don't know if any safeties are rated that high, but you definitely need to play that defense. You got to have guys that can lock. And if you don't.
The way that defense was built is they built it from the front to the back. So if you look at Sherm, they went and got big, long corners with balls.
Yes.
Their big thing was making you take the long, hard way.
Right.
And
defensive linemen, they were able to draft defensive linemen. And Dallas just hasn't. I mean, they drafted Randy Gregory, and he's finally coming along.
He is.
They don't have any interior defensive linemen. They drafted Jalen Smith really high, and he's been up and down. I'm gonna keep. They don't have any safeties. They've shown the inability to draft the safeties. And let's go back to the 2020 draft. It was no purpose of drafting CeeDee Lamb except for trying to be cute.
That's what I told Skip.
No, it's because he's by far the best player on the board.
But Skip,
I got no problem with that.
You didn't need offense. You got to be able to stop somebody.
Okay, but when he falls in your lap at 17, you had him in the top five on your board. I'm taking CeeDee Lamb.
Well, Skip, you got enough kids. You don't want any more babies.
Okay.
You should have got you a defensive player, and then you'd have been Skip.
This is a very special baby.
Okay. I'm not gonna get I can't get a baby when I got another teenage son, and I just gave $100 million and Amari Cooper.
Okay, I got it. And by the way, Neville Gallimore in the interior, he's going to be a player for the University of Oklahoma. That's when you didn't.
But this is my problem though, Skip. He's a 3-4 player.
Yeah,
you're talking about a one gap guy that can get up and wreak havoc.
Right. You need Aaron. You see, when the defense to be effective.
Okay, Skip, we'll just snap our fingers and get Aaron Donald. Okay.
Maybe
Jerry can just go buy him from the Rams in the offseason.
But if you're going to play that style of defense, you need an Aaron Donald. You need a Sapp.
Okay.
You need a guy that's going to play that under tackle and can go wreak havoc in the backfield.
Okay, we don't have it. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? An even worse story in the NFC least is the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Orlando Scandrick, what did you think of the firing of Doug Peterson, and what does it mean for Carson Wentz?
I think they're trying to do everything to save Carson. And save him and get him back mentally. I think they're trying to put all the blame on Doug. Let's go back to Howie. I told y'all about Howie, man.
You did.
Howie survived the Andy Reid firing. Chip move him over to the other side. You know, Chip have a little success. As soon as Chip struggled a little bit, he right there in Larry ear. I told you. He weasels his way back over to the head coach. He wins. And then they start to struggle, and he does this big press conference about how they're all disappointed and everybody has a part in this. And you know, he's disappointed. And then Dougie P fired. I think Doug is just, you know, I mean, Doug seems like a smart guy, and he knows Howie for what he's worth. He's been there with him for a long, long time.
You're talking about Howie Roseman, the GM.
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
how does this guy keep surviving? He look at the players.
Good question.
Who has he brought in or who has he drafted that's really?
Yeah,
he's his third head coach.
Right. He passed on Justin Jefferson to take Jalen Reagor.
Yep. Okay. I got it.
I felt for Doug. I thought Doug was a good leader, man. I thought Doug was you never heard me say anything not positive about him. I thought he was a great coach. I thought he was very positive and upbeat. And man, I know he'll land on his feet, but the Eagles, what direction do they go in? I've seen some reports that they might go after Lincoln Riley. I mean, they're a team that's older. They got very little cap space.
They got no cap space.
Yeah. So, I mean, here, I would have just clean house and, you know, tried to figure out how I can move Carson and, you know, move forward with Jalen Hurts and maybe get an offense that can be kind of centered around him about what he does strong. Because, I mean, they teeter-tottering with being bad for a long time right now.
Yeah. So are you convinced Jalen Hurts can be better than Carson Wentz?
I don't even think it's about being better. I think it's about what's better for the franchise and what's better for the team at this point. I think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts right now today. But if we're looking at the team going forward and trying to be a good football team, we need to figure out how we make some of these draft picks that we invested in fit our team and make our team go so we can be better in the long run. No mercy.
The Saints are preparing to host the Bucs this Sunday on Fox, and after dropping their first two games of the season against their division rival, Tampa Bay feels pretty good about their chances. Yesterday, Bruce Arians denied that his team lacks a psychological edge because of the two losses, saying, "I don't think there's any more swag than our offense has. I guarantee that. You can't get caught up in the finger-pointing and the trash-talking. You've got to play football." So, Shannon, how big of a psychological edge do the Saints have after winning the first two matchups, including the blowout week 9?
I don't think it's that big of an edge, Skip, but I don't think they're in awe of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the swag they potentially come into this game with. They feel that if we play our best, they play their best, we're better than them. That's how the Saints feel about this, Skip, because
I agree.
We've beaten them twice. We match up very well because of our physicality.
Yep.
Latimer loves the challenge of going up against Mike Evans, Skip. In two games this year, one catch, 2 yards, and he had 0 catches last year. So Latimer loves that challenge. There's no love lost between these two guys.
Nope.
I'm assuming they will probably put Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins. Mm-hmm. He might play A.B. in the slot. I'm not sure.
He might.
That's probably the matchup that I'm probably thinking they're going to go with.
Listen, Chris Godwin is really good.
We do, but of the threats, we feel Evans, A.B., can do more damage than Godwin. And then our third corner, we like that matchup. Mm. They like that matchup. I'm saying we. They like that matchup.
Skip, well, by Sunday, you're going to be a we. You need this one.
But Skip, I'm doing good right now. You know, yep. I mean, the Lakers won the title, Bama. I mean, you try to give me sweepstakes?
Mm.
I don't want to be greedy or anything.
I don't know how you take Bama. I mean, how do you suddenly co-op Bama? I don't know where that came from. You're not from Alabama.
I'm close.
You didn't go to Alabama.
I'm close to Alabama. Georgia close to Alabama,
okay,
right?
Okay, I thought you did. Yeah.
The biggest key for both teams, Skip, is going to be what? Pressure. Which team can keep their quarterback clean? The Saints really need to keep Drew clean because you don't really want to go to your backup. Because I believe if something were to happen to Drew in this game, they're going to Jameis, not Taysom Hill.
You could be right.
But what we've seen from the Saints when they play Tampa, they've been able to get pressure on Brady with four. Mm-hmm. Get pressure with four and not compromise your back end. That's going to be key again. Now, I give you – Bruce Arians is absolutely right. Their offense is playing with a lot of swag. They play really, really well. But I don't believe over the last 5 weeks they faced a defense as comparable as the New Orleans Saints. So we'll see if that swag is well placed. Mm-hmm. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a lot of swag, did a lot of talking. At the end of the day, Skip, you got to play this game.
Yep.
Ain't nobody about no swag and about what you did the last five games, and we started this, we started that. Sunday is one for one.
Mm.
And you're going to play six, you got 60 minutes, maybe have to go 70 minutes.
Okay.
But.
All right. Of this entire NFL regular season, mm-hmm. what was the most shocking outcome of all to me? It was on a Sunday night at Tampa Bay.
33.
I just didn't see that coming.
Right.
New Orleans went into Tampa Bay. They had just acquired Antonio Brown. They tried to force him into the rotation right away. They were 6-2, and people were talking about maybe the best team in football is Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Defense plus offense. And what happened? Well, nothing happened to Tampa Bay.
They got
bum rushed. They got annihilated, yeah. Humiliated on national television.
They did.
They were hapless. They were hopeless. That they had no chance on offense while Drew Brees just went up and down the field.
He did.
And went touchdown, stopped it, fumbled the two. They were going in for a touchdown.
Right.
Touchdown, 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 field goal. What? It's a mismatch. Mm-hmm. It's all time. Not competitive. You were not competitive in that game. They had to call timeout with 5:23 left to kick a field goal to get to three. So what if you're on the Saints right now, what are you thinking?
You're feeling really good, Skip. We here's the thing. We know we can play with this team. We're not in awe of the offense. Because, Skip, they do trot out an all-star football team. They got Tom Brady. You argue, make the case. He's the one or second best quarterback of all time. You got three guys that's going to the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
All-pro, an all-world, all-century tight end. Cameron Brate, up-and-coming tight end. A very solid offensive line. So, you know, they feel good getting off the bus, knowing that they can put points on the board. But the Saints says we can match them. We can match their physicality.
Mm-hmm.
We can match up with them on the edges, and we can shut down their run with our front seven.
So I'm not a big fan of Bruce Arians speaking because he just talks and talks and talks to hear himself talk because it's all about his own ego. But I did love what he said in this interview yesterday, this media session, mm-hmm. because he made a lot of piercing points to me. But the best one was the one Jenny read. I don't think there's any more swag than our offense has right now, I guarantee that. Meaning the New Orleans defense, as much swagger as it plays with, and it will talk and it will finger point and it got Chicago completely out of its game twice, right?
Skip, I want to know what 22 is saying to the receiver to make him swing on it.
I don't know, but he made him swing.
He made him swing,
and it happened twice.
Yes!
Okay, well, that's how they play, but they can back it up. They can put their actions where their mouths are.
He's leading somebody girl a DM. He ain't somebody girl DM.
Okay, there's something going on there where he pushed the hottest button he could push.
Skip,
okay.
He just minded his own business, Skip.
Okay, well, don't underestimate. They will try to do that, this team. And if they get Tampa on the run, they are going to bury Tampa because they don't like Tampa.
Skip, what's concerning to me is that he said there's no more swag than an offense.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything about his defense.
You know his defense got to play too, right?
Oh, yes.
And you do know, like the Saints.
Okay. Well, what did I tell you yesterday? The only hope for Tampa Bay is to go in there and outscore Drew Brees. But you can't outscore him by going in the 40s because you're not going to score 40 against this defense.
Right.
Could you get into the 30s? Maybe if you were hitting on every cylinder. And what is the biggest X factor from that Sunday night game to this one? It's Antonio Brown. Right. He was not ready to play on that Sunday night. He had no business being in the rotation. He was in the starting lineup on that Sunday night. He just joined the team.
Well, I thought that, Skip, if you think about it, for the most part, that night they tried to force feed him the ball. That was the only time that I really thought Tom was trying to force him the ball.
He was.
If you look at Saturday, Skip, he only caught two passes. Yeah. Now, they were huge catches. He had a nice run, but they didn't force him the ball. And I don't believe Tom will force him the ball. He'll let coverage dictate. And if Lattimore doing a great job on Evans, why force the ball? Why try to prove a point? Oh, we can complete passes on you. Why?
Okay. I still believe that if they're going to pull off scoring 30-something points and winning this game by outscoring Drew Brees, Antonio Brown's going to have to be the difference maker. He's going to have to make two or three plays,
right,
catch and run kind of plays, that will be the difference in this game. Chris Godwin was disappointing to me at Washington because he dropped three balls, including a touchdown pass. He had some yips. But remember, that was his first ever playoff game. Tom Brady's played in 42 playoff games. Right. Chris Godwin was in his first. Mike Evans was in his first. Majority of this whole roster was in its first playoff game. So at least they got that out of the way and under their belt. But this is going to be a whole nother level of football.
But the Chris Godwin, Skip, is still, I mean, you used to having, you'd be able to do your hands like this, and he has to have his two fingers taped together. So
got it. But that hadn't bothered him until now.
Well, a lot of times, Skip, you know, He's a body catcher. He's not. Yeah. He doesn't just reach up and just pluck the ball.
No, I agree.
I don't think that'll be a problem this week. Can the Tampa offensive line, can they protect him?
Yeah.
And can Brady avoid?
Who did he single out when he was talking about single matchups? You know, one on ones. He's got a rookie tackle at right tackle, and he's going to go up against Cam Jordan. But he's faced him twice now, so he
knows the.
He's got the lay of the land, you know?
The matchup, Skip, is Hendrickson against Donovan Smith.
If Hendrickson can play. Yep.
That's the matchup.
Oh, I know.
Because that was the guy. You saw the number he did on him last time.
Terrorized him.
He did. You saw what he did to Eric Fisher. When he was in New Orleans. Oh. And then
in the end, who's their money receiver? Who is the one that Tom goes to when in doubt? It's that big 6'5" guy, Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. He has no history against Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn literally just owns him.
Right.
He just takes him and shuts him down and out, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Okay, so Mike Evans is going to have to rise and shine and separate enough to make a couple of early plays to get him rolling.
Yep.
Right?
I agree.
And then in the end, as Bruce summed up, it's going to be he said it twice, physical battle. That's what it is.
Yep.
You've been in these. How about that game you guys played at Tennessee? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most physical football game I have ever witnessed, and I was in the press box looking down on it.
Well, you know, the thing was, Skip, that was our third time because we were a division opponent. That was our third time playing them.
Third time.
They beat us at our place. We went down there, beat them. So this was for, obviously, added significance. But I think
there are no more secrets.
No.
You just have to.
We know them.
Yeah.
They know what we're going to do. We know what you're going to do.
It's going to be Eddie George and Steve McNair, and you got to stop them.
But you do take solace in knowing, Skip. Mm-hmm. We beat this team before we could beat them again.
Okay. Well, I think they're taking lots of salt. Right? Lots of sweat.
No mercy.